This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
With the official unemployment report due in less than a day, what is the status of entry-level jobs? I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. There's word today that the number of people signing up for unemployment benefits oddly rose over the last week. That is a volatile statistic, and the main employment and unemployment reports for February are out tomorrow morning. Diane Swonk of DS Economics has cast her prediction. She's thinking the job market is improving with 180,000 more names on payrolls, which would be okay.
We should continue to see some traction in wages. We've finally seen wages move off that 2% level to more of a 2.5% on average hourly earnings. Although that doesn't seem like much, it's a major shift from where we've been since really the start of the crisis and the expansion that followed.
My thoughts often turn to people trying to get into the workforce. I mean, low wages there. Are we seeing any uptick?
Seeing is entry-level new college grads are finally getting some traction out there. Not only are they getting some bidding wars on wages for them, but they're finally seeing some catch-up. These were the hardest-hit workers during the crisis and the years that followed because it was much easier to cut the wage of a new college grad, someone you hadn't hired yet, than those already on the payroll. Those wages pick up really important because, remember, these are the generation that graduated with student debt as well, and if they ever hope to grow out of it and also buy homes and become part of the American dream, they need some acceleration in those wages.
Diane Swonk is the principal at DS Economics in Chicago. Diane, thank you.
Thank you.
There's word just now that at Kroger, second only to Walmart when it comes to groceries, sales were less than expected, although profits went up nearly 8% last quarter. The stock is down 7.7% now. Kroger is playing a longer game with the launch of a brand new brand. Nova Safo has that story.
Kroger became a giant in the supermarket business by gobbling up successful competitors and by turning the art of pricing into a digital, data-mined science. Here's grocery retail analyst Joseph Feldman of Telsey Advisory Group.
There's a lot of psychographic data, market demographic data, point-of-sale data. Blend that all into some big soup, and they are able to find the right price and the right amount of product and the right shelf height.
Now Kroger's aiming its heft at attracting younger customers. Last month, it opened up a new concept store called Main and Vine. John Springer is a retail editor at Supermarket News.
A store that is a little bit more focused on fresh food.
Springer says the store's a peek at the future, more gourmet offerings and prepared foods, for example.
A lot of the sort of the trends that you're seeing playing out over the long term are sort of concentrated in this store.
Springer says other chains are also trying out similar concepts, which will, eventually, lower prices in the gourmet grocery business. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
In this election year, how does this country get serious about long-term opportunities and threats, the ones that don't fit into a single federal budget or a single election cycle? Why not, whoever becomes president, appoint to the cabinet a secretary of the future? It's not my idea. It comes from Kurt Vonnegut. I was interviewing the author and social critic on public TV late in his life, and Vonnegut mused about what he saw as a telling omission at the cabinet level.
And there are no plans at all for my grandchildren and great-grandchildren.
We're asking the candidates about a secretary of the future as the election year proceeds. Today, an example of how this works at the corporate level. Elizabeth Heider is secretary of the future at the U.S. arm of Skanska, the multinational construction and development company based in Sweden. Her formal title is Chief Sustainability Officer.
Skanska has been around for over 125 years, and so we're really looking at what the next 125 looks like. And it's really important for a construction company to have a long view, because what we build has an impact for generations. It's not like a car that you're going to maybe trade in the next 5 to 10 years. It's something that will have an impact for 20, 50, 100 years.
If we look backwards for a moment to the Great Recession after 2008, what? There's an argument that construction companies that focused on sustainability did better during that otherwise bad stretch?
Certainly, when you look at the Recovery Act and everything that the federal government was doing, they were building all of their buildings to LEED Gold or better. So investors, whether they are public or private, who are holding their properties for a long period of time, they're going to be looking at developing properties that will stand the test of time. And typically that means building buildings that are more energy efficient, more water efficient, more resilient.
Beth, do you feel your colleagues listen to you, or is your work kind of frustrating because there's always this attention to the next set of corporate earnings that would be on the way?
The folks who are hardwired to execute in the field and deliver don't have a lot of time and sometimes patience to explore the mysteries of building greener buildings. They do, however, they really are hardwired to find ways to do things that are more efficient, more cost effective. It's inspiring our team to perhaps think a little bit more broadly, but it's also working on the front end of our business at the very beginning of engaging with clients to help them understand how we can identify solutions that will make their building more future-proof. All of those things are actually making the business case to invest in things that have a reasonable return on the investment and have really bring great value to their organizations.
Elizabeth Heider became Chief Sustainability Officer at Skanska USA in early 2014. Beth, thank you for this.
Thank you.
If the next administration did pick up on Kurt Vonnegut's idea of a U.S. Secretary of the Future to consider policy's effect on future generations, what would you put on her or his agenda? Tweet your ideas to hashtag SecretaryFuture, if you would. We'll put some of the ideas on the air. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.